Welcome to our virtual meeting here on Sunday the 18th of October at Only Baptist Church. I'm David Greaves, one of the three elders here at Sutcliffe in Only, and it's my pleasure to welcome you to this service. Whether you're joining us as a regular member of our fellowship or as a visitor, you are most welcome, and we trust that you'll feel at home as we worship God together, as we lift our prayers to him, and as we hear what he has to teach us from his word. So let's just open in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you again that we can come before you in worship, for you are the one true God, and you're worthy of our praise. We can lift our prayers to you because we have your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for us, to mediate for us. And we have your Holy Spirit to guide us into all knowledge as we seek to hear you speak to us through your holy word. We do pray that you'll bless this time together as we ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Our call to worship comes from Psalm 95, where it says, "Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods." Well, we may not be able to actually come together to sing, but we can join in. So if you feel you'd like to, then join in with our musicians. Our first song is a song of praise to the one who's the foundation on which the church is built, Jesus Christ the Lord. It's song number 526 in Songs of Fellowship, "The Church's One Foundation."
Taste his full salvation to
now let's turn to God in prayer. Let's pray together. Loving Heavenly Father, you are our true God, the one true God, the God who is robed in majesty. And we thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being able to come before you at this time to open our minds and our hearts to you, to hear what you have to say to us, but also to bring to you those things that are on our minds and our hearts. We thank you for this world of yours, Lord. We thank you for the wonders that we see in this world, the beauty of nature, the wonder of the seasons, your great provision for us. And yet we see so many places where there is such strife at the moment, Lord. And Lord, we particularly think of this pandemic, which seems to be covering the whole world. And in particular in Europe, we're hearing day by day of the spread of a second wave of this virus and the havoc that it's causing to the lives of people and to the health services. Lord, we do pray that a solution may be found to this deadly problem. We pray for success in finding vaccines that will ward off the disease and help people, prevent people getting sick. We pray for improvements in treatment for those that do contract the virus. We thank you for the health systems that we have, Lord, particularly the health system we have in this country. We know that we take it for granted at times, Lord, but we are so grateful for what's been provided for us. We pray for all of those who work so hard in that health system. From those at the top, the administrators, the surgeons, right down to the nurses, those that are on the front line, Lord, we pray for them. We thank you for them. And we pray, Lord, that you will encourage them, that they may be encouraged in the work that they do. And we think of other services as well, Lord. We think of the local services, the GPs, pharmacists. We think of the emergency services, all of whom are involved in some way in this pandemic. We pray for them, Lord. And we pray for places around the world where such services don't exist. We pray for organisations that are seeking to provide medicines and support and treatment, as well as those that are supplying safety and security for refugees, those seeking to bring fresh water and sanitation, education, food, so many things around this world, Lord, that many people are in need of. So we do pray for resources. Resources to be made available to help in the fight against these worldwide problems. And we think particularly of our own country, Lord. We think about the added restrictions that are coming into force over these days. The fact that people will not be able to socialise in the same way as they have before. We do pray, Lord, that the measures that are taken will be successful in bringing down the incidence of this terrible virus. That we will see graphs showing a downturn in hospital admissions and deaths. Lord, we do pray for those who are suffering with the virus now, those who perhaps are in hospital, those who are self-isolating at home, those who perhaps have had the virus and are still suffering the consequences. Lord, we pray for them. We lift them to you. And we think of those who are affected in other ways, Lord. We know that the economic situation is very poor at this time for so many people. the threat of the loss of jobs and income. Lord, again we pray for all those who are suffering in that way. And we think of our own fellowship here, Lord. We praise you and thank you for the way that you work amongst us, the way that you've worked through us, the way that you've held your hand upon us. And we do pray, Lord, that you will continue to be with us as we continue to seek for ways in which we can serve you, whether it be in recorded services, whether it be in contacting people. We pray, Lord, that you will continue to inspire us by your Spirit and guide us in the way you want us to go, so that we will be able to safely meet together when the time is right. So watch over us, Lord, we pray. Thank you that you know each one of us. You know the difficulties that we're facing. We do think of those who perhaps are facing specific difficulties at this time. Those that are facing health problems, serious health problems in cases. You know who they are, Lord. We lift them to you now. We think of those who perhaps are suffering from the isolation, loneliness, those who are suffering from strained relationships, those who are suffering from economic difficulties, and others too, Lord. We pray that we may feel your Spirit working amongst us, guiding us and strengthening us for all that we have to face. And we do pray, Lord, that you will go with us. We pray, Lord, that as we look at your word, you will speak to us. You will encourage us. You will teach us. For you are our God and we are your people. And what a wonderful privilege that is. So, Lord, we ask these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're turning to God's word now, and today we're continuing our series on Paul's missionary journeys from Luke's account in the book of Acts. And this time we're looking at the less than perfect start to the second journey. So our reading is Acts chapter 15, and we're starting at verse 36. Acts chapter 15, starting at verse 36. And again, I'm pleased to welcome Sue Hansen as our guest reader.
Acts 15, verses 36 to chapter 16, verse 5. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preached the word of the Lord and see how they're doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it wise to take him, because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they travelled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. Amen.
Thank you again, Sue. Well, our second song is one that talks of unity in the Church of Christ, binding us together in love. If you'd like to follow it, it's song number 43 in Songs of Fellowship. Bind us together, Lord.
Bind us together, Lord, bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together, bind us together.
Turning to the book of Acts and to continue the story, really. And if you'll remember, last week we were looking at the major controversy that had been causing deep division in the early church. The question of circumcision, whether Gentiles could be saved if they hadn't been circumcised in line with the Jewish tradition. An assembly had been called to debate the matter in Jerusalem, and they agreed that circumcision was not a requirement for salvation. And Phil Lucas showed us last week that, in fact, the only thing that was really needed for salvation was the amazing grace of God himself. There's nothing we can add to what God has already done through Jesus' death on the cross in our place. We don't have to abide by a set of rules or reach a required standard. We just have to believe and accept that we are sinners who've turned away from God and who can only be saved by God's grace. So that decision on circumcision was circulated to the churches in the form of a letter to Gentile believers, and the members of the assembly returned to their own churches. The Bible tells us that Paul and Barnabas returned to their church in Antioch and stayed there for some time, preaching and teaching. Now, after a while, Paul suggests to Barnabas that it'd be a good time for them to return to the churches that they'd visited in their first trip, churches they'd visited and, in some cases, they'd founded. And the idea being that they would see how those churches were doing, and to encourage them to keep on in the faith. Well, Barnabas agrees with the idea, but there then ensues a heated debate. The Bible calls it a sharp disagreement. If you read the message, it says that tempers flared and they ended up going their own ways. Paul went back to visit the churches in Asia Minor, while Barnabas returned to Cyprus, the country of his birth. Now, the bone of contention in this argument wasn't actually an element of doctrine or a difference of opinion on something that was purely spiritual. No, it was about a person, John, who was given the nickname Mark. Barnabas wanted to take John Mark with them, but Paul was having none of it. They couldn't agree. Neither side would budge or give way, so they went their separate ways. Now, clearly having any serious division in a church is not good, but we know that it does happen, and it's happened so many times in the past. You only have to look at the number of different Christian denominations there are, most of which will have been started when one group splits off from another. And the reason for those splits can be anything from differences in doctrine to perhaps styles of worship or even dress or customs. There's a very helpful article, if you're interested, on Wikipedia that lists the different denominations and in many cases what it is that makes them distinct. In fact, you can see there's a list of different Baptist denominations around the world, many of them with just slight differences. And when I started to prepare for this talk, most of the sermons I looked at centered on why churches split, how to avoid it, and how to cope with it when it should happen, or if it should happen. And indeed, that was the line I was expecting to take in this talk. That's why perhaps the songs which I've chosen are about unity in the church. And of course, unity is very important to us, not at all times, but particularly at these difficult times when we're facing challenges in our present circumstances. But I have to say, I found this a very negative thing, a very negative view. And I don't know about you, but I'm fed up with the negativity and bad news that we hear all the time in the media. Primarily, of course, about the COVID pandemic. For example, we've just heard that London is to be moved up to Tier 2, which is high risk, which means that we now can't visit our grandson on the eve of his second birthday. And of course, COVID is only one negative story dominating the news. You have to look very hard to find something positive. So I decided to look again at this story and look to see if there were any positives. How could God work in this situation? Is there any encouragement we can take? Would this disagreement last indefinitely, or could God use it for good? Well, for that, we need to know more about John Mark. And then we have to look beyond this episode and into the future. So who was John Mark? Well, we first come across John, also called Mark, back in Acts chapter 12, verse 12. He's described as the son of Mary, who was a woman of some wealth, as she owned a large house in Jerusalem that was used for gatherings of Christians to meet and pray together. It's possible that this was even the house that in which the Last Supper took place. It's also the house that Peter heads for after his miraculous escape from prison. So Peter must have been known both to Mary and to John. Importantly, John Mark is also related to Barnabas. In Colossians 4, verse 10, it says that he's described as a cousin of Barnabas. And he was clearly close to Barnabas and also to Saul, as he was called at that time. Because we read in chapter 12, verse 25, that when Barnabas and Saul returned to Antioch, John Mark went with them. He accompanied them. And he was with them when they set out on their first missionary journey. In chapter 13, verse 5, it tells us that John was with them as their helper. So what did he do? Well, John Mark was with them when they were in Cyprus, which was the first stopping point on their journey. But when they set sail for Asia Minor and landed at Perga in Pamphylia, John Mark left them and returned to Jerusalem. Luke, who's recording the narrative of Acts, gives us no reason behind his departure, as we see from chapter 13, verse 13. So we can only speculate. Perhaps he was simply homesick and didn't like the travelling. Perhaps he was actually sick and returned home to recuperate. Perhaps he was daunted by the task of taking the gospel into hostile regions and peoples. Maybe he was upset with Saul, who was now renamed to Paul, and he appeared to have become the leader of the team, replacing his relative Barnabas. So perhaps it was a matter of family loyalty. Whatever it was clearly something that upset Paul, who felt that they'd been abandoned when they really needed John Mark's help in their work. So when a second journey is planned, Paul is adamant that John Mark should not accompany them. He didn't want to risk being abandoned again when the going got tough. Barnabas, on the other hand, was just as adamant that he should go with them. And they couldn't agree. So who was right? Paul was probably thinking about the mission and the task ahead, so he wouldn't want to jeopardize that by taking along someone who perhaps couldn't cope, who would perhaps take to his heels again if the going got too bumpy. Barnabas, on the other hand, was probably thinking about the man. He had family loyalties, but more than that, he could see something in John Mark that he wanted to encourage. Well, both of those would appear to be valid reasons for their stances, wouldn't they? So I'll let you decide who was right and who was wrong. And I suspect it will depend on the type of person you are when you give judgment on this. The fact remains that they split. Barnabas returned to his home country of Cyprus, taking John Mark with him, and Paul heads back to Asia Minor, taking another disciple, Silas, with him, and enlisting further help from Timothy, who joins them when they return to the church in Lystra, as we read in the first few verses of Acts chapter 16. It's also possible that Luke went with Paul because the story narrated by Luke in the book of Acts now focuses on Paul, and Barnabas barely gets another mention. So what eventually happened? Well, it's clear from later scriptures that Paul and John Mark were reconciled. In Colossians 4, verse 10, Mark must be with Paul as he sends greetings to the church through Paul, and the church have been given instructions to welcome Mark as a fellow worker. In the next verse, Paul goes on to say that Mark and others are the only Jews within their circle of supporters, and they have been a comfort to him. In Paul's short letter to Philemon, Mark is again singled out as one of Paul's fellow workers, verse 24. And in Paul's last letter to Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, he says that only Luke is with him and asks that Mark be sent to him because he is helpful to me in my ministry. Well, that's a very different attitude to the one that he displayed when he refused Barnabas's request to take Mark with them on their second journey. So it appears that Mark has grown over the intervening years and matured into one that Paul recognises as playing an important part in the growth of the church. And John Mark has also grown closer to the Apostle Peter, who of course had turned up at his house in Jerusalem all those years ago. Peter, in his first letter, calls Mark his son. And, of course, it's widely believed that John Mark, that we're talking about here, is the Mark of gospel fame, probably drawing on his friendship with Peter to get the information needed to give a detailed account of Jesus' life, his ministry, and his death. So whatever the reason that caused John Mark to abandon the missionaries on that first journey, that's clearly been resolved, and the split between Paul and Barnabas has eventually worked out well. You could say all's well that ends well. God has taken a negative that may have caused real damage to the spread of the gospel and the early church, and has made it into a positive. Perhaps the most immediate positive resulting from the split was that there were now two missionary teams instead of one, so they could cover a greater area and potentially reach more people. Paul and Silas were one team in Asia Minor, subsequently joined by Timothy, while the second team of Barnabas and Mark headed off for Cyprus. So are there any lessons that we can learn? Well, Barnabas wasn't going to write Mark off after his initial failure. Whether it was family loyalty or simply encouragement to try again, Barnabas was intent on giving Mark a second chance. And he was so determined to do this that he was willing to stand his ground and accept the consequences when Paul was all for rejecting him entirely. Barnabas was an encourager. In fact, his name means son of encouragement. There are times when we all need encouragement, because there are times when we all fail. Perhaps you've tried something for the first time and it hasn't gone well, but you felt inside that you could do it better next time. Well, it's so disheartening and a blow to your confidence if you're never asked again. And it's such a boost to your confidence if you are given a second chance. But we need to be aware of that in everything we do, but especially in our church life. Not everything that we attempt will be a roaring success. But we shouldn't give up if we feel that what we're attempting is right. Mark may have failed on that first journey, but when Barnabas encouraged him to try again, he took the opportunity and he flourished. So perhaps there's two positive lessons to learn so far. The first is the lesson of perseverance. Making a mistake is not a reason for giving up on an attempt to serve the Lord, because he can use our failures to teach us, for us to grow and equip us for future success. So we need to persevere. We need to carry on, even when the going perhaps is tough. And the other one is encouragement. Like Barnabas, we should be willing to encourage others, give others a second chance. When Paul and Barnabas disagreed, one thing was still uppermost in their minds. They weren't going to let that disagreement prevent them carrying on with God's work. And that's another positive we can take from this story. Nothing is more important than God's work. There may be upsets and setbacks in our walk with God, many of them as a result of problems in our relationship with other Christians. But we must never allow them to get in the way of God's will. Paul and Barnabas were determined to carry on with his work, and God honoured their devotion to him. Not only did they put their differences aside for the good of the gospel at that time, but they clearly didn't hold any long-term grudges. Mark grew and matured in Christ, and Paul was able to acknowledge that and praise him for his progress. Well, the good news is that we too can grow as we attempt things for God. We may make a hash of things when we first try, but God can work through us in the same way he worked in Mark's life. Paul acknowledged that Mark was useful to him. Wouldn't it be great if someone said that to us, that we're useful to them, particularly if that someone is God himself? We can all make a difference if we're willing to put aside personal differences that are ultimately of little consequence, as we concentrate on God's will in our lives. But the last thing to be said is that all's well that ends well. And often we don't know the end from the beginning. If we were just to look at that sharp disagreement between Paul and Barnabas, then it would inevitably be a negative story, wouldn't it? Where the church is split between two individuals who couldn't get along. But there are positives, and we can see God at work. Mark, the failure who dipped out of the first journey for whatever reason, matured to be useful to both Paul and to Peter, and of course to God, and useful to millions of others over the centuries, as the author of one of the four Gospels in our Bible. When Paul and Barnabas split, they had no idea how God would make use of that situation. But make use of it he did. Would that we could see the bigger picture when we have our own differences. God can take our failures and our disagreements and turn them into positives for ourselves and for others. Amen. Well, our final song talks of God's love for us, in providing for us in so many ways, and our willingness to follow him in service. It's in Songs of Fellowship, song number 830, I, the Lord of Sea and Sky.
I, the Lord of Sea and Sky, I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in dark and sin, my hand will save. I, who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright, I will speak my word to them, whom shall I send?
So thank you for joining us, and we pray that you and your loved ones will stay safe, stay well, and that you'll sense God's presence as we go into another week. And our blessing comes from Ephesians 3. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, for ever and ever. Amen.